Good morning. It's good to see everybody here today. And again, I thank you for inviting me to teach this class. I have chosen for the subject to talk with you about today. The title of it is, She Has Done What She Could. And our base text is going to be over in Mark chapter 14, verses 3 through 8. This is the text where Jesus is in Bethany. He is going to be going to Jerusalem soon. He's going to be facing crucifixion and the resurrection. But at this particular point in time, when they're in Simon's house, Simon the leper, this is when Mary comes and anoints Jesus' feet. So I'm going to read from the outline now, beginning in chapter 14, verses 3 through 9. And being in Bethany at the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at the table, a woman came having an alabaster flask of very costly oil of spikenard. Then she broke the flask and poured it on his head. But there were some who were indignant among themselves and said, Why was this fragrant oil wasted? For it might have been sold for more than 300 denarii and given to the poor. And they criticized her sharply. Let's stop right there. The individual here is not named in Mark, but you learn from the other Gospels that it's Mary, the sister of Martha, the sister of Lazarus. And what she has here is an alabaster flask. Notice what it says about it, the very costly oil of spikenard. And she takes this entire flask, not just pouring a little bit on Jesus, the entire flask, pours it all. One brief moment on the head of Jesus. And the people that are there, some of them at least, they are upset. And the text says they criticized her sharply. And they were talking about how this spikenard could have been sold for more than 300 denarii. Now, if you don't know how much a denarii is, a denarii in the ancient times was what you got for one day's work. And so 300 denarii, just put in your mind how much income you get from about 9 months worth of work. Putting it all in one moment in a bottle of spikenard. We learn from this text, first of all, Mary obviously had a pretty fair amount of money. She was pretty well off financially to be able to afford an entire flask of spikenard for 300 or more denarii, basically giving an entire year's wages for a moment. And as we read to you earlier, the people are there, some of them start criticizing her sharply. Now let's take it where we left off. And Jesus said, Let her alone. Why do you trouble her? She has done a good work for me. For you have the poor with you always, and wherever you wish, you may do them good. But me you do not have always. She has done what she could. That particular phrase there at the close of this is what we're going to be focusing on this morning. She has done what she could. Now we're going to come back to that in a moment. But right now, let's continue the text. She has come beforehand to anoint my body for burial. Assuredly, I say to you, wherever this gospel is preached in the whole world, what this woman has done will also be told as a memorial to her. This particular event is recorded in the other gospels. And we're talking about here this morning. Because what she did was no small thing. She gave her all to the moment to Jesus. She did what she could to the fullest to the glory of Christ. And what we're going to be taking is that principle of doing what you can to the fullest to the glory of Christ and be applying that to our lesson this morning. Now then, let's go Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 10. By the way, the entire book of Ecclesiastes is just amazing. One of my favorite verses in the book is chapter 9, verse 10. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with your might. For there is no work or device or knowledge or wisdom in the grave where you are going. Whatever your hand finds to do, everything you are doing, give it your all. Everything. Give it all. And everything you do, all the time. But especially in relationship with God and Jesus Christ. If you will look at these next few verses, I want you to notice the magnitude to which we are to give in all these verses. Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. In giving yourself as a living sacrifice, I asked this question last night and you answered it correctly, Stan. When we're giving ourselves as a living sacrifice, how much of ourselves are we giving? All of me. How long? All the time. In my relationship with God, it is not a casual relationship. It is an all-consuming relationship. All of me to God, all the time. Colossians 3 and verse 17. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Again, notice the superlative here. Do all in the name of the Lord, letting the word of God and the authority of Christ be what's shaping and molding your decisions and your choices. God gives us in His word how to live our life as a Christian, interacting with people around us, interacting in our relationship with Him. And so everything we're doing, in word or in deed, that covers everything, doesn't it? Whatever you're saying, whatever you're doing, you're letting the authority of God and His word and His will drive your actions in your relationship with the people around you. And then 1 Corinthians 9:27. But I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. Now, in taking this particular verse and applying it to yourself, to what level are you disciplining your body? Totally. Absolutely. How long? All the time. So are you seeing this? All of you, all the time. Totally. All the time. Whatever you do and what you do, do all in the name of the Lord. What I'm wanting you to see again is the total consuming of yourself, God at the center, His word shaping your values and ultimately your behavior by faith. To where everything you're doing now is God and Christ centered. Now that we got that principle base down of doing the very best you can to discipline your body, to bring it into subjection, to give yourself as a living sacrifice to God, giving it all the time, now let's take it and apply it in our service to other people. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 4. Let each of you look out not only for his own interest, but also for the interest of others. First of all, it is not sinful to take care of yourself. It is not sinful to want to wear nice clothes. It is not sinful to want to make your hair look nice. It is not sinful to want to try to do the best you can with you, okay? And polish you to the very best of your ability, physically even. But notice, not only are you looking out for yourself, you're looking out for the interest of others. And so now we're allowing the authority of the Scriptures and the will of God to show, shape, and direct our actions. And the major part of our actions in our life being shaped by the will of God and the Word of God, to where we're giving ourselves as living sacrifices. God says, okay, take care of yourself, but now look over here. Look over here. See the others around you. And in your interaction with others, give it the very best you got. Do the best you can with what you have. The best you can with what you have. Let me give you some examples of this. Mark chapter 12, 41 through 44. Now Jesus sat opposite the treasury and saw how the people put money into the treasury. And many who were rich put in much. Then one poor widow came and threw in 2 mites, which make a quatrain. So he called his disciples to himself and said to them, "Assuredly, I say to you that this poor widow has put in more than all." Why don't you stop right there? Don't you think in their mindset they might be going, "What? 2 mites? If you don't know, 2 mites are 2 small little pieces of copper, pennies, even less than a penny." And she puts that in. And so technically speaking, the people that were wealthy, they gave the most technically, literally speaking, as far as numerical. But when it came down to sacrifice, you see, sacrifice, she put in more than all. Those who have given to the treasury, for they all put in, notice this, out of their abundance. They had abundance, and when they gave, they still had abundance. But she, out of her poverty, put in, look at this, all that she had. Her whole livelihood. When she let go of those 2 mites, she had nothing. Totally given to the glory of God. Trusting the Lord will provide in her future life. Please recognize God saw those 2 mites. He was more conscious and aware of them and praising them than everybody else. She did the best she could with what she had. What did she have? Not much. In our mindset, not much at all. But in God's mindset, more than anybody else. Please let this example sink in. Because sometimes people say to themselves, "I don't have much to give." Okay, that's all right. But what can you give? What can you do in helping others to the glory of God? Mark chapter 9, verse 41. "Whoever gives you a cup of water to drink in my name, because you belong to Christ, assuredly I say to you, he will by no means lose his reward." Someone being given a cup of cold water. God sees that. That's important to God. Can you give someone a cup of cold water? Can you hand someone a bottle of water? Yes. Matter of fact, more than that, several of you have already taken me and my wife out to eat. The Sunday morning potluck was all of you working together. Do you think God saw those things? Yes. And when I come in and I sit down and I realize when I'm seeing food before me that somebody put a lot of work into. You need to realize this. God sees it even more than me. God sees you in the kitchen, spending time doing the best you can with the food you've got to feed anybody you're trying to give food to. What I'm wanting you to see here is how God sees the little things. He sees the little things that you do. Matthew 25:14-15. "But the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country, who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each one according to his own ability, and immediately he went on a journey." Now you're familiar with here the parable of the talents. By the way, a talent is actually an amount of money, and it's a lot of money. Nobody here was given just a little. Even the one who was given 1, he was actually given a lot, financially speaking. But I want you to notice the phrase here, "to each according to his own ability." You see that word? Ability. God never expects you to do anything beyond your ability. And so when we're talking about doing the best I can with what I've got, the very first thing I got to figure out is, what do I have? Okay? What do I have? What can I do? Notice in the text here, nobody was given nothing. The man who was given the one talent said, I was afraid and went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours. But his Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. So the man who had the one talent, what to do with it? The answer is nothing. Nothing. Recognize what you can do. I have several brief stories to share with you. I told you this one already before, back in Lindell, Texas, when I was preaching there. There was a brother in Christ who never served at the Lord's table, never delivered a public prayer, never taught a class. And so you might think, well, this man never did anything. No, he did more work in the kingdom than most preachers I know. You know how he did it? He gave out CDs of my sermons. He mailed them to his family. He mailed them to his friends. And whenever they would call him with a question, he'd call me. And he'd say, Wayne, this is their question. What sermon did you preach about that on? And I'd have to think for a while. And I can't begin to tell you how many times I did this 5 years ago. And I'd go through all the archives. 5 years ago at nighttime, I preached on this sermon. It's in there. And so he'd go get that CD and get a copy of it and mail it to him and say, listen to this. And they'd call him with another question. And he'd say, well, what sermon did you preach on this? That's what he could do. And through this process, he converted his entire family. His wife, his sister, all of his children, all of his son-in-laws and daughters-in-laws, and ultimately his grandchildren were brought to the Lord by CDs. As I asked at the same time last the other night, can you give an outline to someone? I've had it said to me many times, even this week, someone telling me, yeah, I obeyed the gospel because somebody gave me a copy of one of your sermons. Can you do that? Then do it. Do it. There's a funeral going on right now over in Searcy. The funeral of Wanda M.D. She was amazing. She was blind. What good can a blind woman do? In her blindness, she sold clothes for women. Knitting. If you were to go and find her, she'd be sitting there blind, knitting. She could knit. She could feel it. And she could knit and knit clothes for people that didn't have clothes. And make pallets for people in Africa to sleep on. And one time when I was going to see her, there was a woman there visiting her who was, guess what? Blind. And the lady that was blind when she was leaving, I asked her, what'd you come here for? She said, I heard that she was discouraged, so I came to encourage her. I'm telling the story of two blind women who are going and visiting and still knitting and still making. They did the very best they could with what they had to the very end. Give it their all. I do a lot of preaching in nursing homes. I have no sympathy for the concept of I can't do anything. None. Because in the text here, no one was given zero talents. We have a sister in Christ over in Searcy. If it's your birthday, you can get a card from her. If it's your anniversary, you can get a card from her. If you're sick, you can get a card from her. That's what she can do. She can write cards. We live in an amazing time. We have these wonderful things called cell phones. Can you call someone? Can you text someone? Can you send someone an outline, a sermon that you may think may be encouraging or helpful to someone? Ask yourself this question and answer it honestly. What can I do? What am I able to do? If you're here right now, I want to make you this observation. You're able to do a lot. You walked here, didn't you? You drove here, didn't you? You're staring at me. Your mind is still working. You walked in the building. Whether you realize it or not, you can do a lot. You can walk and talk and carry your body from one spot to another. Because there's a lot of folks out there that can't do that. This is one of the most haunting verses to me personally in the Bible. Luke 12:48. But he who did not know, yet committed these things, deserving of stripes, shall be beaten with few. For everyone to whom much is given, from him much will be required. And whom much has been committed, of him they will ask the more. We've talked about the two mites, the cup of cold water, not able to do in your mindset a whole lot, but in God's mind, in God's eye, it's a lot. When you're taking what little you do have and doing it to the very fullest with the best you can with what you got to the glory of God, God sees that. God sees that. But what have you been given 5 or 10 talents? Oh, let me ask you. Which one of these two has actually done the most to the glory of God? The person who has one talent and gives 100% to do the very best they can to produce another talent to the glory of God, or the person who's got 10 talents and produces 5? You see it, don't you? You remember the two mites. One, the people had all the wealth here and they gave just a part of it. Okay. But the one who had two mites, even though it was numerically small, it was all she had. The person who has one talent and produces one talent has given all. The person who has 10 talents and produces 5 has only given 50% of himself and what he's able to do, leaving the other 50% for himself. That's why this verse haunts me, because I know I've been given 10. I have the mind I'm able to do with what I'm doing right now. I have a strong body. God has blessed me financially. I have all these blessings all around me. And I need to understand I'm expected by God to give it all back. Not part, all back to the glory of God. Doing the best I can with everything He's given me to the glory of God. Do the best you can. What you have, but you've got to recognize what you have and give it your all to the glory of God. Do the best you can with what you have, where you are. That's the last part of it. Best you can, what you've got, where you are. Galatians 6 and verse 10. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. Do you realize how big that command is? As you have opportunity. Earlier we were talking about ability. Ability together with opportunity produce responsibility. If you're going to do everything they say in word or deed in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you're going to be giving it your all with what the Lord has given you, you're going to be a busy person. Because there's opportunities all around us. I'm going to tell you something about every member of this congregation. It's true. With every member here, you have your own set of problems. Everybody. Every single person you see has their own set of problems. You can't take care of everybody. You can't fix everything. So what can you do? What can you do? Because there's so many people around you hurting. So many people around you with needs. There are times I have to fight the feeling of being absolutely overwhelmed. I talk about that in Little by Little, by the way. Overwhelmed by the magnitude of the work around me. There's people I need to go plant, but I need to look back over here because here's sheep running away. If you're an elder, just a brief tangent here. There was a time when they were going to appoint elders in Searcy, and I was one of the ones. I am convinced that several of the sheep were waiting for me to be appointed an elder so they could all go, run away! Because when the sheep run away, you gotta leave the 99. And you go, okay, I hope y'all are doing well. I gotta go after this person. And while you're going after this person, you got them back and you put them on the ground and you go, oh, he went away. Okay. And so you're chasing after this one. And while you're chasing after this sheep, all this work over here is, it needs to be done. These people need help. They need encouragement. They need feeding. And you're chasing the sheep. It takes everything I have sometimes not to say, okay, you want to go to hell? Bye. My wife is getting up going, I can't believe you said that. Okay, I'll put it another way. You ladies would not do this, but Stan will understand this. Physically speaking, you go after the sheep in the mountain. Mountains are high, cold, and they're big. And after searching for a long time, you finally find a sheep. And you come out of the mountain, carrying it out of the mountain, and you're rejoicing because that sheep that was lost is now found. And you're rejoicing with everybody. You put the sheep down, and you turn around, and you look, and the sheep is running to the mountain. Now, you ladies may not understand this, but Stan will. Are you tempted to go get your rifle and shoot the sheep? My wife's saying, I can't believe you said that. She said, move on, move on. Okay. The point I'm trying to make is, there's more going on out there than you can take care of. Don't feel guilty because you can't get to it all. How many of you are juggling? When I say juggling, that is, okay, I'm taking care of this child, and this child, and this child, and the husband, and the family, and the grandchildren, and my brethren, and I'm juggling, and I'm juggling, and juggling. And then someone comes to you and it says, can you do this? And you're going, okay. Because you got all these things you're trying to take care of that are crying out your name. When you say yes to the sheep that's gone to the mountain, and you're giving it all your focus at that moment, you have to say no to all the others and let the balls hit the ground. Don't feel guilty when balls hit the ground and you didn't catch them all. Okay? Sometimes you just need to recognize, especially those of the household of faith, that means, okay, here's a brother or a sister in Christ, and they're struggling emotionally. They're struggling physically. They're struggling spiritually. What do you do when you see a brother struggling emotionally? The best you can with what you got where you are at that moment. What do you do when you see a brother or sister struggling spiritually? Red flag. Not on the outline, Hebrews 3:13. It talks about the importance of exhorting one another daily while it's called today, lest any of you be hardened in the deceitfulness of sin. For brother or sister struggling spiritually, you just got to say no to a lot of other balls and let them hit the ground and go after the stray sheep, leaving the 99. If you leave the 99, it doesn't mean you're not doing the best you can. It's just something has come up that takes precedence. You see that word, especially precedence. I continually every day have to ask myself this question. What is the most important thing for me to do right now? At this moment. What is the most important thing that is needed for me to do? And then whatever my answer is, do it with all your might. Do it with all your might. Okay, let's take this principle and go a little bit further. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 verse 1 says, to everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven. And in that same context of Ecclesiastes in chapter 8, this time verses 8, 5 through 6, it says, he who keeps his command will experience nothing harmful, and a wise man's heart discerns both time and judgment. Because for every matter there is a time and judgment, though the misery of men increases greatly. What I want you to see is what I've got in yellow tint for you here. A wise man's heart discerns both time and judgment. First question is, what time is it? What's happening? What do I see? What is the situation here in front of me? And when you realize the situation in front of you, the next question is, how do I handle this? What can I do in this situation to help the individual, to help the situation with what I am able to do? You see that? There's two things here. What time is it? And then the judgment. Recognizing the situation, understanding and asking myself, what am I able to do to help? And what you're able to do at that moment, then do it. Do what you're able to do. James 1:27. Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their troubles and keep oneself unspotted from the world. In the ancient world, if you lost your husband, he was in trouble. They didn't have 401ks. They didn't have IRAs. And you weren't allowed to go out and find a way to survive. He's in trouble. Orphans. Mom and dad is gone. All income is gone. All someone taking care of you is gone. And notice this. There's going to be a time when they're in their troubles. You're recognizing here's someone who doesn't have someone to help them, and they're in trouble. I'm able to help them. I'm able to come to their aid. The worst thing we could do, especially if this person is a brother in Christ or a sister in Christ, is to pass by on the other side and do nothing when we are able to do something. Make sure I got the right one. Okay. Matthew 25:34-36 this time. And the king will say to those on his right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. And notice what he says. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Okay. Someone's hungry. What can you do? I got more food than I know what to do with. Share my food with them. Someone's thirsty. Give them a cup of cold water. Matter of fact, I got a case of Aquafina. Enjoy. Someone's a stranger. What can we do to help you? Someone's naked. I got more clothes than I know what to do with it. How many of you have clothes you never wear? I hope I don't go to hell for it. Because I got so many clothes. If you see somebody who doesn't have clothes, go in there and find those clothes that you aren't wearing and say, here. I was sick and you visited me. Now, I talked to you earlier about phone calls, texts, cards, all that's fine and good. But listen to me. There's no substitute for you face to face with another person. There's no substitute for it. Visit people if you're able to. Visit the sick. And he says, I was in prison and you came to me. Some retirement communities are really amazing how nice they are. Some of them that I've been to, quite frankly, are more like prison. And when I go to the nursing homes, I notice there's a whole lot of people who are lonely. There's one sister that I visit over in Searcy. One time I went to see her, and the lady across the hall saw me praying with her and holding her hand and hugging her. And she told her, I wish somebody would come do that for me. You want to see lonely? Go to nursing homes. If you know someone who's in a nursing home and you start visiting them and they get understanding, you can come visit me and you can visit me again. It becomes a highlight of their day and their week because they're interacting with another person. There are going to be situations sometimes that you're not going to be able to fix. When Job lost all of his wealth and all 10 of his children, his three friends that came to visit him, could they fix the situation? No. They actually did a very good job for the first 7 days when they didn't say anything. When they opened their mouth and started talking, that's when they messed up. The way it's put in the New Testament is this way. Weep with those who weep. It's just your presence. They're not going through a time of grief, a time of sorrow, a time of stress, a time of tragedy, alone. When someone is going through an extremely difficult time, especially in the body of Christ, when one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Do you see the connection of empathy between us? There should never be a brother or sister in Christ who is struggling physically, emotionally, or especially spiritually to where we all pass by on the other side. Do the best you can with what you got where you are, even if it's just sitting down and weeping with them and holding them and talking with them. Do you see? Sometimes we think these things are small and think, I can't do anything. Can you go visit somebody in a hospital? Can you go visit someone in a nursing home? Can you go see someone who's struggling and just sit there and talk with them and pray with them and weep with them? If you answer those questions, yes, then do it. Do the best you can with what you've got, where you are, from moment to moment, day to day. Matthew 25:40. And the king will answer and say to them, assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these my brethren, you did it to me. And would you go visit Jesus in the hospital? Would you go visit Jesus in the nursing home? Would you send a card of sympathy to Jesus? Anytime you're doing these things to anybody who's a brother or sister in Christ, anytime, even if it's a cup of cold water, you're doing it to Jesus and He sees it. Matthew 7:12. Therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them. This is the law of the prophets. Okay, let's just take this and apply this to the parable, the story of the Good Samaritan. You're the individual who's going down to Jericho. Unfortunately, you fall, you find yourself among thieves and robbers. They rob you, they strip you, they wound you. You're laying out in the middle of nowhere, wounded and naked. Now, what would you want done for you? Well, I wouldn't want you looking at me and go, oh, but I'm busy. You know, I'm a Levite and I got the work of the Lord to do. Or, oh, I'm a priest. I got a whole lot of work to do. You just don't know how busy my day is. I hope things work out for you, Bob. The scriptures call that passing by on the other side. And we understand passing by on the other side is sin. Just like burying your ability is sin. Just like not visiting the people that are sick, not visiting the people in prison, not giving anything to anybody in need is sin. Answering the question that I asked earlier, I want somebody to help me. Please, I'm wounded. I need some clothes. I need my wounds attended to. I can't walk well. Would you carry me where I need to get to? Would you give me some food? Would you provide for me for a little while to where I can get up on my feet? When you see the situation from moment to moment, ask yourself this question. What would I want done for me if I were in their shoes? If I were in the situation where they are right now, what would I want and wish someone would do for me? And if you're able, whatever the answer is, do it. You see, what we're doing now is we're looking into the Word of God that we're supposed to be having controlling all of our words and actions. And the Word of God is trying to show us how to be the salt of the earth. How to be the light of the world. How to truly live the life of a Christian. So ask yourself, what can I do? And you recognize what your abilities are and recognize the moment. What can I do at this moment? Then do it. Again, I want to come back to one last thought. You can't take care of everybody. You can't do everything. Don't feel guilty if you can't. Don't feel guilty because you can't get to everybody. There are times I'm a list guy. I make a list every day of everything I'm planning to do the next day. And sometimes I'll have an entire list laid out the way I think the day's going to go. And with one phone call in the morning, I lay it aside and the whole day's changed. Because this situation requires my immediate attention. I have to make choices of who's going to get my time. We all do. We have to make choices as to who's going to get our time and our attention. And when we give our time and attention to this person over here, just like the shepherd going after the one, you gotta leave the 99 behind sometime. Doesn't mean you're not doing the best you can. It just means you're giving your focus and your attention to this situation, and then when this situation is rectified and dealt with, now we're going to come back and go, okay, where am I now? What's the situation? And I try to look around, try to figure out what's the most crying out to me. Help me! This one needs most attention. Go here now. And when I choose to go to that one person, I'm not sinning by not going over here and taking care of the rest. So don't feel like you're not doing enough because you can't take care of everybody. I'm talking to myself, by the way, if you haven't figured that out. Because as often you will find the people who are giving the best they can with what they've got where they are, who often are the ones who feel like they're not doing enough. Isn't that amazing? The ones that are giving their all are the ones going, but I didn't do this and I didn't do that and I could have done this and I could have done that. Okay, that may be true. But did you choose a situation that you did do the best you could with? Did you give the two mites? Did you give a moment out of the day to come and sit down with a person? Did you give a cup of cold water? Sometimes things that we look at and think are not that big at all, Jesus looks at them and goes, wow, great job, well done. You gave your all in that moment to the glorifying of God to help that brother or sister in Christ, to help that person. He sees all the things you're doing. Figure out what you can do. Nobody was given zero talents. Can you give a text? Can you send an email? Can you give a phone call? Can you even go in person? Then do it. Can you give a CD? Can you give an outline? Can you invite someone to a gospel meeting? Then do it. Can you cry with somebody? Can you encourage somebody? Then do it. She did what she could. That's all God expects of us, to do what we can. I thank you for your kind attention. If there is anybody here who we've all obeyed the gospel, okay? If there's anybody here who needs us to pray for you, you need encouragement, you need exhortation. The brethren here will do that. We are here for one another. When one member suffers, we all just suffer together with them. Empathy, caring for others. If you need someone to pray with you and to pray for you and to encourage you, just let us know. And hopefully the brethren here will do the best they can with what they've got, where they are, to encourage you. If you're subject to the gospel call in any way, let us know while we stand and sing the song that's been selected.